obviously in keeping with the great esports depression and esports winter, whatever you want to call it, Astralis are right up there. Remember, I've been all over Astralis. I have written about how their share price is a joke, how obviously they have made a ton of bad decisions in terms of just as a business direction. Reputationally speaking, my publication of the Hunden files shows through court filings that Casper Witt valued Hunden's opinion even over people that were employed by Astralis at the time. And clearly, despite being this supposed like god tier mind for the game and for sports that Nicola Nyholm was so impressed by, didn't even understand basic things like, you know, can we put Blame F on entry and stuff like this. Now they have decided that they're going to have a strategic review of how things have been going as a business. And well, you can just read what they've come up with. I'll read you the full thing. Esports organization Astralis announced Thursday that its board of directors has initiated a strategic review to explore the future position of the company, which could include delisting that company's shares, stop me if you've heard this one before, i.e. going private, issuing new shares, or a sale of the company's shares and assets to new people. Today, Astralis announced that its board of directors has decided to initiate a strategic review. Astralis continues to deliver upon its publicly disclosed financial targets. However, the company's shares now trade at a material discount to the price of the initial public offering of 8.95 Danish kroner. The targets for Astralis for the financial year ending 31st of December 2023 remains a net revenue in the range of 85 million to 90 million Danish kroner, which is in line with 2022. The board believes that Astralis remains in a position to generate positive returns for its shareholders. Therefore, the board today announces that it intends to undertake a strategic review. Hello. Hello, WhatsApp. Hello, Nicola Nyholm. The board believes that Astralis remains in a position to generate positive returns for its shareholders. Therefore, the board today announces that it intends to undertake a strategic review to consider the future position of the company. The strategic review will include the assessment of a possible delisting of the company's shares, a combination with another company, an issuance of new shares, and for a sale of all or some of the company's shares and or assets. Combinations of all or some of the four possible transactions may also be the outcome of the strategic review. The board will continue to update shareholders on the progress of the strategic review as appropriate. There can be no certainty as to the outcome of the strategic review, nor whether any potential transaction would be successfully completed. And so you have to wonder what that's going to be and what that's going to look like. They already have a partnership with someone. I can't remember off the top of my head. That maybe they might do it. But essentially, what's optimal for Astralis here is to sell, get another one of these sugar daddies in. This is what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to find these buyers. And you can see that, if you look in terms of where they're at, share price-wise, again, it's pennies. It doesn't mean anything. And it's hard to understand where they would generate any value for a prospective owner, somebody to come in. Like, what's so great about the Astralis brand right now? Like, why would anybody want to own Astralis? Remember, they might be the kings of Denmark, right? But Denmark's not like a huge market to begin with. You know, it's only got a tiny little population. It's great for Astralis. Denmark obviously make money from being the essentially only show in town in Denmark. But what are they internationally now? All of the prestige that they had is gone, as far as I can tell. I mean, you know, they can't even get to the big CS tournaments anymore. They have proven that they don't have the magic eye for, like, talent. They're not really developing, like, fantastic academy prospects, like, say, Na'Vi, where, you know, you're going to sell a player for 600,000. Well, that's an asset. That's money. You know, that's not happening. The one player they did sell for a lot of money, they bought back for a lot of money. And now, bought him back for a lot of money, and they're not winning. Still, their league team has finally done something in LEC, but maybe too little too late. Keep in mind, they finished almost dead last every split, with I think like one exception to that up until now. So it's just sort of crazy to me that like we're here again. Like, what was the plan? Like, what did you think was going to happen? Right, we're public. We're doing you know, there's got to be some sort of sustained pathway for like success. None of these brands have come up with this stuff. It's wild. Astralis, they're doing a strategic review. While that happened, obviously, other old school brands that maybe lost the shine, lost the luster that they used to have. It started with this. There was these CLG announced layoffs. We'll just stay with James for just reporting. This was Travis Gafford, our good friend Travis Gafford, put out a video where it was like the classic rush to get the scoop. I watched the video and it was like going, yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, but I think it's like it might be closing down or it might be sell. And it's like, you are supposed to find these things out, like, but you know, whatever. Like, to be fair, it's a scoop of sorts, you know, but whatever. So CLG said, we're laying off a bunch of staff. It's the only way that we can do. You can see here, the Esports Advocate independently confirmed with several current CLG employees that layoffs were indeed happening. The scale and the scope of the situation at the Los Angeles-based esports organization, as described by a video from Lord Content gathered on Monday, could not be independently verified as of this writing. In a video released on Monday evening, Gafford claimed that CLG staff were informed on Monday that they would be laid off, and the only thing the company will keep operational is its League of Legends team. In other words, this is this silent running process I talk about. They need to keep that running to meet contractual obligations, but that's also the thing you're going to be looking to sell, and you know, the slot itself has value. It's why all these North American orgs jerk off over the prospect of being in these franchise leagues. So CLG was owned by Madison Square Garden Entertainment. That was another one of those big names that came in, wanted to buy something. CLG wasn't a particularly like prestigious brand in terms of where it was positioned when they came in, but it was a brand that had like some legacy and a brand that was at least interwoven into the fabric of League of Legends. You know, it's very hard to imagine North American League of Legends without CLG, even though CLG sort of hadn't been all that relevant for a long like period of time. But anyway, so they come in, they pick them up. For me, the sad part about CLG doing all these layoffs, shutting down, was the women's team, was CLG Red. CLG Red was like the place to go if you were like the best women's player in Counter-Strike, and to sort of lose that brand and lose that prestige, lose that pedigree is like pretty sad from where I'm sat. But other than that, it's just another esports org that fucking shit the bed. Then a couple of days later, obviously, it was announced they were going to sell to NRG. You know, NRG, it's a long time, so my memory might be off here, but NRG did used to have an LCS team, but that was back when you got relegated, and they got relegated, I think. They ended up selling their slot to, can't even remember who it was. Was it the Slans? Or was it the Slans that owned NRG? I can't remember, but anyway, they basically, back in the days of relegation, NRG had it, and they ended up selling their slot. But now, they're back, because they have the opportunity to buy another slot, no doubt on the cheap. So, Los Angeles-based esports organization CLG will shut down its operations, according to reporting from the Sports Business Journal reporter Kevin Hitt. We're going to get to him in a second for another story. Madison Square Garden Entertainment still intends to run and operate Knicks Gaming, which competes in the NBA 2K League, but the rest of the stuff they're not interested in. Obviously, NBA 2K League, it's got a regular season. It's all, again, interlinked with the actual league. It's very low cost to have players turn up and play in that, so it's fine. This is the announcement. Madison Square Garden Sports Corporation and NRG, a professional gaming and entertainment company, today announced the combination of CounterLogic Gaming with NRG. As a result of this transaction, MSG Esports, which previously owned a controlling interest in CLG, now owns a non-controlling equity interest in the larger combined NRG-CLG company. Because nothing's as simple as just selling this shit. In esports, everyone wants to keep a little bit just in case, and we have to do this. While details are thin, It's evident that NRG and CLG owner MSGE had to have hashed out some sort of agreement long before rumours of layoffs surfaced. That's another thing that pisses me off about all of these like esports layoffs that happen. You're always the last to know. All the suits all get in a room, agree, shaking hands, trading all their equity, all their shares. You're going to have a position. You're getting a golden handshake. You're getting a parachute payment. And then they come into a room and go, wow, guys, super sad to break it to you. It's totally come out of left field. You're all sacked. And but don't worry, it's Monday, we'll pay you up until Tuesday, now fuck off. And it's like, all those other people have known for weeks and haven't given you time to get your shit in order. Which again, this is why you should be in a fucking union, but what are you gonna do? America gonna Americanize, I guess. Anyway, sources we spoke to this week intimated that CLG would make some sort of formal announcement on Thursday, or that events would unfold that would make the severity of this situation apparent. But apart from individual announcements on layoffs, these things have not happened. TEA reached out to CLG, its parent company MSGE, and NRG earlier in the week, but NRG and CLG did not respond to a request for comment. An MSGE rep issued the following statement, saying, while changes like this are always difficult, we're streamlining CLG's operations to better position the company for long-term success and are also currently exploring strategic alternatives for the business. So, one of the great brands from the golden era of esports, of, you know, when League of Legends, the LCS, North American League of Legends, was the king, it was the place to be, it's gone. CLG's gone. I don't know whether it's like some sort of brand they'll keep for a separate thing, they'll stick a logo on something, but CLG as we know it, the CLG that was part of the sort of golden age of esports, it's gone, dead, out the door. But it gets even crazier, because in addition to reporting that, while it's great, what I love about lying dormant is when you wake up and you just wake up to like a deluge of like big stories. As I said, I actually think the esports, the core of esports reporters we've got right now, there's a little cadre of esports reporters like Jacob Wolf, like James Fudge, like Kevin Hitt, like Mikhail Kalentov, and probably like one or two others that I'm missing out, and I apologize. They're really putting out big stories all of the time. And this one, this was the mind blower. I did a report which should have been bigger, but because it got suppressed on the League of Legends subreddit, not a lot of people saw it. But I wrote that TSM were looking to sell their LCS slot, and that to me was like one of the biggest stories like of like the year. I wrote it like last year, but like it didn't play out on Reddit, so nobody noticed it, so Ashley Khan gets the award and Richard Lewis can go fuck himself. But anyway, this one is from the 31st of March, so again, about 10 days ago at this point. LA-based TSM will be pausing most of its esports efforts in several titles and may be putting its League of Legends Championship Series franchise on the block, sources tell the Sports Business Journal. TSM is one of the more popular esports and lifestyle organizations within gaming. It fields competitive squads in Valorant, Fortnite, Apex Legends, and others. Sources tell the Sports Business Journal that TSM took a big financial hit when its 10-year, $210 million naming rights deal with FTX disappeared after the crypto brand infamously went belly up. That pact was the most lucrative in all of esports sponsorships. It was the biggest ever esports deal for a title sponsorship. So it's got to be said, I don't know how negligent you have to be in business to hitch your wagon to something like crypto. This is why I fundamentally believe esports deserves to fail. Because so many people jumped on, let's have a crypto sponsor, let's get an exchange, let's get NFTs, let's do all this stuff. And it's like, loads of that stuff was a grift. Loads of it was actually predatory, and predatory in a way that people will look back on and realize how predatory it was. People aren't ready for that conversation yet about how there was something really grotesque in how crypto combined with the shit that the people pushing crypto were saying on the internet, on these podcasts, and basically the problem you had is it was a two-pronged approach of some like 21-year-old fake entrepreneur in a suit going on a podcast saying, I've got a Lambo, I've got this, I've got that, check out these women, I'm making bank, and I did it all through crypto, and I'm a trader, and I'm da-da-da. And then you're like an 18-year-old, maybe younger, and there's no barrier to entry to getting in this, and these people were going in, fucking up their whole lives. They were the fodder in all of the rug pulls. You were the lower rungs of a pyramid scheme that was already played out. You're all got fucked, you all got played. And it's easy to sit back and laugh when you look at those Reddit posts from all the fucking former crypto bros, like saying, guys, like, I don't know what to do. I've lost all my money. I fucked up all my finances. I lost all my savings. I can't go to college. And everyone goes, you know, and it's like, no, actually, there was something really grotesque going on with all them crypto bros that we really need to come back and have a visit to. Maybe get a fucking task force and put some of these motherfucker in jails, you know, like, because I'm telling you, it's like, it's why I never touched it. It's why I never promoted it. Because after what Skins did to people, I was like very finely attuned. This is bullshit. This is predatory. Creating an aspirational element where this is dangerous and it's going to ruin a lot of lives for young adults that would have had functionally normal lives if they just hadn't got into this bullshit. So anyway, the FTX deal is one of the most negligent of all time. Like, I know nothing about crypto. Like, is everyone so easy to tell me, but I knew straight away FTX was nonsense. That Sam Bankman-Fried with his little fucking titties, like, you knew he was a fucking clown. Like, it was just a joke, like, absolute joke. I knew as soon as I heard, oh, he's playing League of Legends, you know, like, in the business meetings, I'm like, oh, this guy's a fucking clown. He's not even charismatic, and you're getting finessed by this dude. Like, it was utter bullshit right from the fucking get-go. The idea that, like, successful business people had calls and meetings with that guy, and they were like, oh, he's just a genius. Of course he's, like, not neurotypical. You know, they aren't, are they? It's like, guys, listen to what he's saying. He was guaranteeing returns on investment. I mean, this is, like, 101. Like, this is, like, 101. You got clowned by a bronze League of Legends player who was high half the time he was talking to you. Like, you wouldn't really need to go look in the fucking mirror, you know? Anyway, the TSM deal and the subsequent Riot deal, the idea, this is what you hung your hat on, you deserve to go bust. I'm sorry, like, you deserve to go bust, and all the people whose lives are impacted by this decision should fucking sue you into oblivion, because the idea you couldn't see this coming, you couldn't see that FTX was a fucking, you know, bad beat, I don't know what to tell you, like, I don't know what to tell you. I would have told you to walk away from that. And I am not an expert in that field. Anyway, the pausing of esports continues a period of significant change at TSM, which last month saw its COO depart the organisation, and in February saw its defending champion Rainbow Six Siege squad depart that esports circuit. However, after the downfall of FTX last year, TSM put a statement out saying, TSM is built on a solid foundation. We are stable and profitable, and we continue to forecast profitability for this year, next year and beyond. We look forward to a great year in 2023. What about today, dickhead? Sources also tell the Sports Business Journal that TSM will continue to focus on its Blitz application, a tool that helps video game players develop in-game skills and strategy in titles such as League of Legends, Valorant, and more. Well, let's just also get to this, right? Because when those mass layoffs were happening, I got no love for TSM fans. They're disgusting. They're one of the worst, most obnoxious fan bases on the internet. But I also do believe, like, when fans ask for transparency, you're entitled to that transparency. You know, if you're asking questions and the answers aren't forthcoming, you have got a bit of a right to be mardy about it, like. So, naturally, there were Reddit threads, like, what's going on? There was a ton of layoffs at TSM prior to this news, and it was obvious what was going on. Obvious that. Why would TSM be immune to something that's affecting everyone else? FaZe, Astralis, CLG. You know, I'm thinking about it, I probably should have just made this one long podcast. Like, maybe that's what I'll tell Griff to do, just chop it all together. Just, like, this is how fucked esports is. There's not a successful organisation to be found. In fact, the next episode of the Esports Gospel, which will be uploaded soon, is talking about the disappearing sponsors. Because what are they doing? Like, have you noticed, like, that EG story that I did, which I'll tack it onto this in a bit, you know, sponsors sort of quietly leaving, not re-signing, not renewing deals. The global economy has only seen in the US a 7% decrease in sort of advertising budget, you know. So the whole advertising industry in the US has only seen a 7% shrinkage in its market. That's not a lot, guys. That's not like 2008. That's not like 2008 levels. Yet in esports, we're on 2008 levels. So what's going on? And I'll tell you what's going on. All these orgs are signing sponsors, anyone, and they are offering zero value to their partners. They're offering zero value. That's what's going on. So the next Esports Gospel is about the great disappearing sponsor. Go and look at your favourite esports org right now and have a look at their sponsors page, which you can do in like the Wayback Machine. go and look at 2021 and then look at 2023 and look who's not there. And then maybe go back and look at 2019 and then compare that to 2021 and look who's not there. And you will see that we just burn through sponsors in this business. And when I say we burn through, take out the word through, we burn sponsors in this business. We offer them value. We say we'll do deliverables. All these orgs just fucking sell them down the river. Sell them a bunch of bullshit they can't possibly get, you know, deliver upon. Lie about all the numbers. Lie about the view. And then they walk away. They get finessed and they fuck off. But the average esports org goes, well, plenty more fish in the sea. Right? We haven't got a Red Bull sponsorship. We'll go get a Monster sponsorship. Can't have a Monster sponsorship. We'll go get a G Fuel sponsorship. What starts happening, guys, when you burn through all three? Do you know what I mean? What happens then? Okay, well, there's an energy drink called Pussy. We can have them. All right, you've got Pussy energy drink. Oh, now you're fucked over that? What now? What happens now? That's what's going on in esports. That is what's happened for 10 years. Easily. And we're getting to the end of it now, where people are just like, there's no point being here anymore. Anyway, obviously, shout out to the sponsor, NordVPN. Get yourself over to nordvpn.com/RLS. We're into another 6-month extension on our long-standing contract, which is going to take us up to close to 4 years, I think. So if you haven't signed up, do go and take advantage of it. Obviously, right now, the offer that they're doing is if you go and get the 2-year package, get an extra amount of time randomly assigned to your account, completely free of charge, because they're like the one sponsor we've got at the moment. Obviously, throw all your love into them, because it's good to have them. Reginald Bro came out and addressed. There was a thread made on TSM saying it's kind of ridiculous to put the announcement behind a mass exodus. And what this means is the announcement hadn't come first. And people at TSM were basically saying, oh, we're going. Bye, it's been real. And everyone's going, why is everyone associated with, like, LCS leaving TSM right now? What the fuck is going on? And they didn't say anything. So get this, right? And this is why I can't wait for the Four Horsemen on this, because I know Duncan's going to kill it. Even if I turn up half dead, Duncan's going to carry the show, because he's got material. But you do remember when Reginald said he would never let TSM end up like CLG. Do you remember that? He said he would sell his car, sell his mansion, put his own money into it. He would never let it end up like CLG. Well, I got some bad news. Like, literally within, like, 24, 48 hours of the CLG news. This is what's going on, is it? But anyway, just prior to the TSM announcement, right? This was his response to fans wanting to know what was going on with the mass exodus at the company. So here you go, Reginald Bro. We overhired and expanded too quickly. With the economic downturn, we made the necessary changes to be sustainable. This was not easy. Our current team is stronger and more performant. We don't see negative effects with the changes that we've made. TSM was not headed in the right direction. I'm taking a more hands-on role. In fact, we've put the right decision makers in place to be more successful long term. So good news, everyone. Reginald has realised why TSM, his brand that we all know he ruled with an iron fist, because he got investigated for mistreating staff and sanctioned by League of Legends for it. And he says the problem we have is that I wasn't hands-on enough. Then he added an update. We're in the process of figuring multiple things out and will not be able to make any sort of announcement until everything is final and complete. Expect a minimum of 4 to 5 months. I will make a post later on why we decided to invest less into LCS this season. So, by the way, that's 18 days, and then 18 days of a more hands-on effect from Reginald. And the headline is, TSM will be pausing almost all esports operations. Brilliant. The hands-on role's really working. And also, yeah, we can't tell you the full story until 4 or 5 months later down the fucking road. You've absolutely killed it once again. Like, please, part of being successful sometimes is like knowing the areas where you fail and just offloading to other people. Brilliant. Great job, TSM. So TSM are in the fucking bin. FaZe are in the bin. TSM are in the bin. Everyone's in the bin. This was my latest on Substack. This was the report that I put up about, you know, Evil Geniuses, multiple sponsors quietly leaving Evil Geniuses. Talks about Evil Geniuses, two rounds of layoffs, etc. Anyway, currently, the Evil Genius website lists the following partners. Premier League football team, Wolverhampton Wanderers. Peak Six. Now, just to get this out the way, remember that The Premier League football team Wolverhampton Wanderers isn't like a sponsor of Evil Geniuses. The Fosun Sports Group, which is a Chinese sports group that owns Wolves, invested in Evil Geniuses for a piece of it, saw they could have Wolverhampton Wanderers associated with Evil Geniuses as like their esports partner. And in exchange for that, Evil Geniuses wove like a gold line into their fucking jerseys. So Wolves, okay, Peak Six, they're the owners. So let's just get rid of them too. So you have Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, LG Ultra Gear, Secret Lab, and Chevron. They're the four sponsors at EG at the moment. But if you go back to November 2022, they lost Bud Light. I don't know how you lose Bud Light in esport. I mean, like, I do if you're Activision Blizzard, because they just don't want to be. But like, Bud Light feels like a pretty easy one to keep hold of, right? Monster Energy, now as we'll get to, we'll talk about that in a second. Toomey, I don't know who they are, but they're gone. BitCasino.io and Ace of Predator, right? So let's just start with BitCasino. I did my due diligence. I reached out to all of these partners and sent emails saying, like, I'm writing an article about you no longer sponsored Evil Geniuses. I just wanted to understand, you know, was this not renewed? Was this terminated early? You know, whatever. Like, just a boilerplate email I sent all of them. Nobody replied, of course. Now, BetCasino.io. How can you not hold on to a casino, a crypto casino? The only fucking people that are throwing money into this shit right now are like these guys. It's still there, it's still operative, it still works. I mean, like, when you look, hang on, I'll even read you, because I researched all of this, as I said, before I wrote the thing. So BitCasino, right, this is from Esports Insider. Evil Geniuses signs BitCasino as latest partner. It was in September 2021. So you can see it doesn't even align as being like a fucking two-year deal or whatever. But it says here, the quote that BitCasino gave, this was head of BitCasino, Kwapo Kangro, said, "We love Evil Geniuses' passion and forward-thinking approach to everything they do. They've been changing the game for more than 20 years. Which is why they make the perfect partner for BitCasino. They're true pioneers who share our values for fun, fast, and fair gaming. It's an honor to see the BitCasino logo on the EG jersey. And we're excited about the great content that we'll be partnering with on for Evil Geniuses fans around the world." Brian Millman, the Director of Corporate Partnerships at Evil Geniuses, said, "Evil Geniuses has always been a trailblazer within esports, and bringing on a pioneer in their industry like BitCasino, EG continues our commitments to engage our fans in new innovative ways." Now, I looked up, I couldn't find a lot of content. Apparently, they made a custom map in CSGO, and it was like Taric. Made a custom map, and it was like branded as a BitCasino map. So that was there. The partnership features CSGO programming, which includes a custom created map featuring familiar B site locations. So I think they made like a Rush B map, basically, in a sort of which Taric promoted on his stream or something. I don't know, but that was it. That was like the sum of the content, as far as I could tell. I went onto the BitCasino website. There was an article, and it was called Reasons to Bet on Evil Geniuses. And this was in June of 2022. And it's like one of these garbage SEO articles. And at the end, it says, okay, this is all legit. What makes Evil Geniuses even more spectacular? Right, so this is published on the BitCasino blog section of the website. Right, and I'm not linking to it because I don't know what crazy shit will pop up on a fucking slots website. It said, "What makes Evil Geniuses more spectacular is the partnership with the best online casino in the world, BitCasino." It's like that fucking Obama meme where he's giving himself the medal. Like, what? "Redefining how you play. Both BitCasino and Evil Geniuses are here to give punters numerous reasons why you should bet on this team on their platform. With one of the greatest online casinos working today on EG's side, it's hard to deny the team's amazing potential of winning multiple games." This is like staggering stuff. With this partnership, you will see loads of amazing games and the chance to get ahead of the competition by wagering on Evil Geniuses games and see the dollar sign come up in after wins pile up in the team's win column. So in other words, there is a blog, right, on the Bit Casino website saying the best thing about the partnership is essentially you can't lose if you bet on Evil Geniuses. I don't know about that, guys. I don't really know if I'd want my brand associated with that copy. You know, and it's especially unreal when you consider one of the surefire things you can back in any game, almost, is for EG to lose. And they don't stack W's in the win column, which is the only column a W could go in. I mean, keep in mind, they focus on their Dota team as well. It's especially hilarious, I guess. This is June 2022, right? And they focus on their Dota team. And when did they cut their Dota team? This is the one with, like, Artesian. So, okay, in June 2022... their Bit Casino partner tells you, look at this amazing Dota team they've got. You can't lose if you bet on them. Paraphrasing. Then, by November 2022, Evil Geniuses drop the legendary Dota team so they can pick up a predominantly Peruvian Dota team to save money. Evil Geniuses, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, the point being, losing Bit Casino, I don't understand. Losing Ace of Predator, they're like a really good brand. Losing Bud Light. Bud Light, just, they've got, you know, they're owned by the biggest brewery in the world. Like, they're almost everywhere in esports. I don't understand how you can't keep this sponsor. Then, and this is the one that's mind-blowing, Monster Energy have been with EG since the days of, like, DJ Wheat and fucking In Control and Idra, you know? Monster Energy's, like, over 10 years. So over a decade. I think it was literally the longest sponsorship deal in esports. And so I was asking around about this, going like, why is Monster gone? Like, why is Monster gone? Why would Monster go, you know? Apparently, it's not, it's acrimonious. You can see there, sources with knowledge of the deal, speaking under the condition of anonymity, said the deal was terminated abruptly and finished on bad terms. Sources from Monster confirmed the deal was not renewed, but wouldn't elaborate on any reason behind that decision. You know, meanwhile, you know, it's not like Monster pulling out of esports. Monster is still very much involved in esports, which is just crazy, you know? When you consider, here's just an example. Evil Geniuses are down to like four sponsors, and one of them is Chevron. Chevron is a sponsor that only Peak Six could have got. I went and looked at all the board members. I wanted to see if it was like a Bobby Kotick being on the board of Coca-Cola, Activision Blizzard, Overwatch League, Coca-Cola deal thing. But I couldn't find any crossover. Other than Peak Six have some Chevron shares in their portfolio, but they got shares and everything, so it doesn't matter. I went and looked into all of that. Chevron's the type of like shitty little, you know, shitty, awful corporate sponsorship that only like Peak Six, a shitty, awful corporate investment company could sort of get, right? Like, they, you know, they all swim in the same, no pun intended, but dirty water, right? But anyway, you look at like Team Liquid, you know my opinion, fuck everyone in this business, but like, look at this, right? Alienware now is probably the longest standing sponsorship deal left in esports. Alienware have been with Team Liquid since I don't even know when. Like, that is super OG. Like, that is like an old school sponsorship deal. Honda seems to have been going pretty well. They came in, I want to say that's like a 2020 deal. Verizon, Monster Energy. So Monster, like, you know, yeah, we can't be with the brand that we've always been synonymous with, but we're sticking with Liquid. Don't even know who some of these are. SAP, IMC Trading, Thorn, Fury, Hyper, Secret Lab as well, Huya. I mean, that's like a good set of sponsors. You know, like, to have that many sponsors is about right for where an esports org needs to be. But I look now, I mean, like, think TSM are down to six. The great disappearing esports sponsor, you know? Because there's no point.